This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everybody, it's Troy Ballhofer from Country Thunder on the bus. Our special guest today is Dierks Bentley.
Yeah.
Dierks, how are you?
We're good, buddy.
We're up in Canada hanging out together.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Always good being up here, dude. I love this part of the country. I've had a chance to come over and play a few times. And just driving in, seeing the fans, just good people, hardcore country fans. I mean, Canada's changed a lot since I first started touring up here. That lot younger and louder. And you're having a good festival. I'm glad I got a chance to play this one.
You know, it's thank you, and this one's a good one, man. And it was funny because I think back to the first festival that I ever produced, or the second festival I ever produced. I had to do a deal with your manager in it was Kernahan at the time,
Kernahan,
right?
Sure, yeah.
And
yeah.
I remember what I paid you, and it was like, holy shit, right? and it was fantastic because.
Holy shit, I'm paying him nothing, or holy shit, it's a lot?
Holy shit, it's a lot. and you just started out, basically, at that particular time. 2006, you were already on a roll. You already had a couple big records,
That was actually a good spot. Yeah, that's kind of the first. I kind of divided my career up into two careers, and that was that first career. That, 2006 was a good time. Things were going pretty well.
Yeah. Well, he nailed me on that one, right?
Did,
I'm like,
yeah.
All right. So, but of course, you have to come to Canada, right?
Yeah,
which
of
is
course.
Not always easy, you know, to our listeners. For a U.S. artist to come to Canada, it's a little bit more difficult. You have to cross a border, you have to go through immigration, you have to
sometimes
customs.
We have a bus here today, which songs are dragging.
Sometimes a fucking a hotel. Right. It truly is an effort, and I appreciate you coming up and doing the gig.
Yeah, we've been coming to Canada since early. I mean, 2000, I think I first came up on my own. I came back to George Strait in 2004 or 5, and we came back. We've been coming up in all the small bars. I mean, all the.
You were here with Brad Paisley, too.
Paisley, too. And that Paisley tour in particular, I remember the crowds being appreciative, but a little quieter. Maybe it was Brad. I'm not sure what it was.
Right.
It was more of a listening crowd, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't like the rowdy U.S. festivals. And then something changed around, like, 13, 14, where it's like, whoa, man. People are talking about, like, you've been up, you played Boots and Hearts recently? You've been up there? And it's like, it's the crowd's getting younger and a little louder. And now it's like, that has been the last, like, you know, 5-6 years, always one of our favorite places to tour, and used to do a winter tour, looking to do a winter tour up here again, January, February. I like to ski, so it's a good time of year to be up here. I like hockey, and I like, as you know, and I like the winter sports, so.
I come up here for Christmas every year.
Yeah.
I go to Banff and
do
a little skiing.
Yeah, man.
It's fantastic.
Lake Louise.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Love Lake Louise.
It's beautiful, right?
It's unbelievable. So pretty. Skating the canal in Ottawa.
Oh, I've never done that.
Oh, it's so fun. Get a beaver tail.
Never done that. No.
Minus 55 degrees.
Well, touring in January and February can be quite challenging.
Yeah.
And
lose a truck sometimes.
Trucks, buses, right?
Yeah.
Especially the drivers who are like, I can't keep it warm enough on the
coach.
I
will say it's a great bonding experience with the band and crew, though. Because
right.
It's like the year starts off, you're all in it together, too far away to fly back home to Nashville. It's like...
Yeah, no one could quit.
We're just like, we're kind of in this together, you know? It's like, it's a good way to get the year started.
I'm so happy for your success, and since being such a fan of yours throughout your whole career... I want to talk about this friend of mine, Jay Williams, and your and how you guys were roommates and how this all thing happened.
Yeah.
And how you transitioned from a student into a musician.
Oh, thank
you.
Yeah.
Professional musician.
Yeah, I moved up to Nashville when I was 19, I guess it was. I was going to Vanderbilt. That's the way I kind of got there. I transferred to that school. And the day I got there, I got a job at the CMA Country Music Association as an intern the very first day. I was had a place to work. And long story short, I was, you know, throughout the whole experience of college, I spent most of my time in the bars, you know, learning, listening, just absorbing the Nashville, you know, 101. But I graduated, and I was, you know, all my friends left, and I was living with Jay Williams, who is my booking agent now, and Jamie Cheek. Oh, I'm sorry, Jay Williams and Fielding Logan. Jay had just got a job in the mailroom of William Morris. Fielding was tour managing a band called Nickel Creek. He's now Eric Church's number one day-to-day guy, as you know.
And Jay's one of the most powerful agents in the show business.
And Jay's gone on to be one of the biggest guys in William Morris. So we all started together, though. They go, Jay would go to the mail boy. And Fielding was doing the same with Nickel Creek. And I'd sit at home in my underwear and drink Bush Light and listen to Sam Bush and try to play mandolin. I was like really into bluegrass at that time. So I was like, and they'd come back and they're so jealous of me because they love bluegrass. Bluegrass was the key amongst our friendship. You know, they'd be so mad at me.
Because Jay played too, right?
He plays too, yeah. You sat around all day long and you're, you know, playing this. I have little gigs too to make money, but I just was just hanging all day long trying to learn, you know, Bill Monroe bluegrass licks. But yeah, we all, you know, Jay became my agent once things got going, and Fielding and I have remained great friends, and glad to see his success as well. But yeah, Jay's really going on to, it's pretty big. He's a pretty big deal.
They're lovely guys. And
yeah.
Fielding was, I was trying to get Ashton McBride to do my podcast.
Yeah.
And Fielding calls me up and he's like, hey man, your profile on this thing isn't right. You need to do this, this, and this. And I said, well, okay, cool. But is she in? She's in.
Okay.
So once he heard the podcast, he was like,
yeah.
Called me up and did exactly the opposite and said, man, you just let them, you know, your guests talk and enjoy their story and stuff. And it's all about the artist, which is fantastic.
Have you already had Ashley in?
Yeah, she was
fantastic.
Ashley,
she's so
great. I did her in Arizona.
Oh, cool.
We did our podcast in Arizona.
Oh, cool.
And it was like really like a open book.
Yeah.
She's such an amazing artist. Like over the last 4 years, I've just seen this maturity of her music, of her band.
I mean, yeah.
It's pretty cool. Have you played many gigs with that?
Yeah, we toured together last year. I mean, we text all the time. So, you know, there's some artists that you keep in touch with a lot. And after our tour last year, you know, she's been through a lot and going through a lot.
Yep.
I was able to, you know, be there to support her in ways that were helpful. And we've kept in touch. And she texted me today. She's like, I'm just so glad. When I see that we're playing a show together, it just makes me so happy. So we'll probably collaborate on something together tonight. I'm just a huge fan of her. She's awesome.
So let's talk about, like, the first record and how you got your record deal. How did it actually happen? Because, I mean, everybody's dream is to have a record deal in Nashville, Tennessee, and you're from Arizona.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt University record deal. How does that come down? How does it all happen?
Yeah, it's a long time. You know, they call it a 10-year town, and that's just how long it took me to get a record deal, probably almost exactly 10 years. But, like I said, I got there. I got a job interning at CMA. I was, you know, driving Jody Messina around at CMA at fanfares and hanging out with Sammy Kershaw and watching Alan Jackson during rehearsals and escorting Shania Twain back to her bus and doing all this stuff at the CMAs and just in the daytime. That night I was going to places like Douglas Corner Cafe and Bluebird Cafe and Broken Spoke to listen to songwriters, working on my own songs, going to Roberts, going to Layla's, going to the Sutler to hear bands like Wayne the Train Hancock and BR549 and the Derailers and all these great kind of bands. That were really cool things are happening back then. So a lot of that rockabilly country stuff was going on.
Great bands.
Yeah, Wayne Hancock, man,
oh,
he's so
God.
Great. He goes through two bass players a night because he just, that upright bass player is just slapping so hard.
He's, like, fucking killer,
he's got
too.
Two guys that play bass. I remember that. I was like, second half of the show, new guy got up. That's a lot of upright slapping the bass. You know, going to the station was the main thing. Going to the station in the Bluegrass Bar in Nashville, that's really where I met a lot of guys that took me under their wing. And I learned that bluegrass and old school country are really, you know, at one point, they were kind of the same thing. You know,
sure.
They diverged off a little bit. You know, Osborne Brothers were kind of the fulcrum of that whole scene, I think, of the split. But, those guys really took me under their wing. I put together a little bluegrass band, a kind of semi-bluegrass, semi-country band. I got a gig playing down on Lower Broadway. It was the first band to play the stage. Well, I had several gigs before that, but the real first gig on Lower Broadway was the stage. It was the first band first guy to play the stage. Very first person to play
really?
When they opened it. Yeah. My buddy Rupel, who owns that, and he owns Legends Corner as well. So the first guy to play there, and also the first guy to get fired from that stage, because we played there about a couple months, but the guy next door at Tootsie's, you know, he'd just be out there. You know, this is a different Nashville back then. But
oh, absolutely.
He'd be just tearing away on Freebird and Rocky Top and I didn't want to play those songs, you know? I wanted to play...
Like real songs.
Like, yeah, like the Keith Whitley. I love Keith Whitley's early, you know, his... I love a lot of things about Keith Whitley, but he really was a bridge between bluegrass and country as an artist and certainly as an influence for me. And so we were doing... I didn't have an electric guitar player. I did not have a... I had a drummer. I had an upright bass player, a steel player, and a banjo player, and a fiddle player. So we were kind of doing like...
Big band.
Yeah, it was big band, but kind of doing like, you know, bluegrass country stuff. We'd do some Haggard. We'd do some George Jones. We'd also do some J.D. Crow and do some, you know... Monroe and Ralph Stanley and stuff. So it was kind of a mixture and just wasn't really drawing people in. But I was trying to use it as a chance to, you know, I guess be creative and not necessarily just fill a tip jar. Although I liked filling the tip jar.
Yeah.
But I just love those songs. And I mean, this is a really long story. I'll try to make it short. But I ended up, the drummer that was playing with me downtown had a job in the tape room at Sony Tree Publishing. So his job was to, someone would say, bring songs in the tape library and say, hey, I want this song, this song, this song on a CD or on a cassette for Tim McGraw. We're going to pitch these songs to McGraw, so he'd make the tape. Anyway, he was in my band, if you can even call it that, and he got me an interview over there, whatever you want to call it, a chance to play songs for Don Cook, and I did. And that kind of led to the thing with Arthur Buenahorra. I got a publishing deal, got a $15,000 a year.
So that's what paid the bills, right?
Yeah, and I think I had a $10,000 advance, which I immediately spent on a 2003 Softail Standard Harley Davidson. You know, I need a lot of money. My $15,000 is great.
Of course you did.
Well, no, that's all the money I need there. So let's spend this other $10 on a motorcycle.
Yeah.
I had a piece of like an '86 Honda. Can't remember what it was at the time. So that was a big upgrade. Still have the bike. But that helped. That led me to like I was working at TNN, the National Network, which is also CMT for people that don't know what TNN is. Had a bunch of day jobs. I was working at a Randstad temping organization, which is like a temping organization. So I was pouring coffee all over town. I had all these random jobs. This allowed me to like quit everything and just do this one thing, which is write songs. And I wasn't writing songs for anybody else. I was trying to write songs for myself. And started working with a guy named Brett Beavers.
Great writer, right?
Great guy. We wrote a lot of songs together. When it came time to, long story short, to maybe go for a record deal, I wanted to work with him. I did a couple of showcases, but I did one for Capitol Records. And that worked out. I got my record deal in 2002, and I moved there in 94. So about 8 years.
That's pretty good, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a fast trajectory in that city.
Yeah.
I mean,
8 years is...
It's pretty quick.
Yeah, there's... With TikTok and stuff, there's things happening in 8 months.
Yeah, I mean,
that's 8 weeks.
That's a different story, but I mean...
There's no shortcuts. I found that...
There is no...
But there's times people are like, oh, American Idol, you know, The Voice, these people, it's so unfair. It's like, dude... There are no. Look at Scotty McCreery. He got one American Idol, you know, 15 years ago. He's just now really starting to get traction. I mean, there's just no shortcuts. You might get the initial like, oh my gosh, but
well, the thing that I think, Dirks, and maybe you can concur with this, is that I think there's a process, right? So you got to go out and play these clubs. You got people who are having a cigarette and a drink or whatever, and maybe not a cigarette anymore, yeah. But they're talking to each other, and you're up there, and you got to earn their respect and earn their listenership, right?
Yeah.
And these kids, I don't know that, but it seems like the entertainment capacity is a little diminished in the sense that they haven't earned their chops going through the clubs where you got to earn the audience's respect and win them over. Like,
win them over.
Got to win them over.
Like that Aldean song, Crazy Town. I always love that song.
Oh,
you know, make all the drunk girls scream and shout. Bend those strings till the hand comes up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you got to do. And I think playing those clubs helps you because you play, then you go on to play play a football stadium or whatever. And you try to make that place feel as small as those clubs that you used to play in. You know, it works. Same with Garth Brooks is able to do. You know,
yeah, Garth Brooks thing kind of puts a football stadium into an intimacy.
One of my first concerts was him, and I was in the very top of the arena. I could actually touch the roof. It was America West Arena with the Coyotes. Here's our hockey team's AHL team, the Phoenix Firebirds used to play. If I could touch the roof of the arena, and there's no video screens, no moving lights, but it still felt like he was singing. Right to you, so that's definitely the
goal. I think that's a little bit that is missing, but hopefully we can get that back, and these kids can, you know, I mean, they're getting a lot of opportunities, which is fantastic, and
I mean, crazy,
crazy slots, crazy opportunities,
playing stadiums,
right. Yeah. So I mean, it's cool.
It's very cool.
Let's talk about hockey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So why, how were you interested in hockey, and and what was your, you know, kind of vibe to?
You know, the press.
Because you're in Arizona.
I'm Arizona, yeah. I didn't, we had, like I said, I think it was an AHL team. The Roadrunners, sorry.
Yeah, the Phoenix Roadrunners.
Yeah, yeah.
They were an American League team.
Yeah.
I got sent there.
Did you really?
Uh-huh.
No way.
Yeah, from the Boston Bruins. They were the Boston Bruins farm team.
Yeah, that's right.
And I went there without a contract.
Wow.
Yeah, and then I signed with Montreal in the interim. So
that's unbelievable. Yeah, so I mean.
Fairgrounds.
Yeah, Fairgrounds. Yeah, I didn't even watch them that much, but when I was in Nashville, 1998, when the Preds came to town.
Yep.
It was one of the first games. Friend of mine from Toronto was played men's league hockey, and he's like, you know, you can go play this. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, there's the Centennial Sportsplex. There's a bunch of men's leagues over there. I'll give you some gear. I was hooked. I mean, just started playing every, you know, a couple times a week. Even when the kids came, the first kid, I kept playing. The second kid came, I kept playing. By the third kid, I was like, I can't do this. It's just these games start at 11 o'clock at night. They end at 1 in the morning. Then you go to the bar. You're home by like 2 or 3 in the morning. You're exhausted the rest of the week. You know,
yeah.
I just had to take a little break. But now my son is into travel hockey.
Oh, he is?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of what I do on my touring between Memorial Day and Labor Day, because the rest of the year we're all over the country.
Hockey.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just got back from – I was in Coeur d'Alene today because he does a Wayne Gretzky camp.
Oh, he's doing Gretzky's thing?
Yeah, the 99 camp, yeah. And
is Kelly Chase there?
Oh, Chaser, yeah. So hang out with Chaser. I just saw Chaser yesterday. Yeah, he's one of a kind, man.
So he's my roommate for a couple
he
years.
He was?
Oh, yeah,
oh,
absolutely.
Shit. No way.
I was showing someone a picture of you and Kelly Chase and myself, and I think Mike Sillinger, who's one of the I have nothing to say about my career because I was – you know, I played in the minors my whole career, basically. But Mike Sillinger is the most traveled guy in the NHL. Like,
yeah.
12 teams, 11
wow.
teams he played
yeah.
for. And it's you and I and Chaser when the alumni game we
yeah,
played,
that's right,
right?
Yeah,
against St.
Yeah.
Louis.
Yeah.
And I was showing somebody
right,
that yesterday. I'm like, wow, man, that was super cool.
Fun you know, to watch that, yeah.
It is. And that game's amazing. I mean, being up here in Canada, like, there's a lot of rule changes now that are pretty interesting, and a lot of things are changing towards, you know, hockey. And, you know, it's kind of like Kelly Chase was a fighter and enforcer.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, those guys don't exist in the league anymore.
No.
That thing's done.
I know.
It's over.
It's, you know, everyone's got their feelings on it all, but it's like, you know, there's an important role for, that's the thing about hockey, there's a role for everybody. You know, it's not
correct.
Just like one player fits all. It's like, this guy does that, that's what makes a team. You know, that's why it's we. And you hear those guys always use the word we and not I. It's a great sport. But he loves it. We watch a lot of hockey. You know, the Preds got a lot of kind of a rebuilding situation going
yep.
on, but he loves, you know, I was flying into Edmonton today. My son obviously loves McDavid.
Is your son here?
Your
son's not here.
No, he's back in. He's went back to Nashville today, but he loves the Oilers. So, and it's like, be careful in this country. You know,
they love the Oilers here.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
yeah.
Oiler country, obviously, because we're just outside of Edmonton. But, you know, you look at, you know, McDavid, and, you know, I've been asked many questions, you know, and I've never met the gentleman, and I think he's one of the most talented players ever to play the game.
Yeah.
But not... There's no one who has had the impact on hockey as Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah.
And it's just, that was just different.
Yeah.
And it was, when I got to meet him, I had the best coolest experience. I lived with his brother for a couple of years, so I always played with the good ones.
Yeah.
So Chris Chelios, his brother.
Yeah.
I played with him.
Yeah.
I played with Keith Gretzky.
Yeah.
But never played Wayne. And I had this moment where we were playing in Erie, Pennsylvania, and went out for dinner with Walter and Phyllis Gretzky. And it was when you could still smoke in restaurants.
Yeah.
And they're just chugging cigs, right? And I'm looking across the table at them and going, like, you created the greatest player of hockey in the world and you're chain smokers. And it was kind of like...
Different sport, different time, dude.
Different time, man.
These guys don't go out and party like y'all used to. They
that's
sit
all
in their
done.
Room and play video games.
Yeah, that's done. Yeah, I know. Yeah. So let's talk about what's in your future. What are you up to? What do you got going on?
Yeah, man. The album came out in February, so this tour is kind of based off that album. It's a fun show. It's a fun tour. You know, Jordan Davis has been out this most of the year, and we've had different openers.
Talented artist.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, he is.
That's
a great package.
It's a joy, dude. I watch him, and he just gets the crowd so fired up. By the time we walk out there, it's a done deal. We've had really cool openers before him. Molly Tuttle, great bluegrass artist.
Yep.
Red Clay Strays have been out there. Band from Mobile, Alabama. They're awesome. So the tour's been great. I got three kids and doing three different camps with three different drops and three different pickups. So I'm just thinking I'm a pilot because I'm bouncing all across the country to be two, three places at once sometimes.
Are you back in Nashville now?
Back in Nashville full time.
Cool.
Yeah. We had to leave Colorado.
And you're also a pilot, so let's talk about that.
Yeah.
So do you fly to your own gigs?
I flew here today. Yeah. I'm going to fly tomorrow up to BC. I'm going fishing tomorrow up in Terrace, BC to do some stuff for the Textron people who sponsor me.
I know.
But yeah, I'm probably the only country. Well, I know I'm the only country singer that's, not only a pilot, but, typed to fly that I fly.
How long have you had your license for?
I got my license in 19. I ran out of money and reason to do so once I got it. Then my first kid was born in 2010, and that's when I got back into it full time.
Yep.
I started flying a little prop plane that I owned, a little Cirrus, flew that everywhere for about 800 hours in that. And then through Peyton Manning, I met everyone at Cessna. And the CEO at the time, great guy named Scott Ernest, he avid outdoorsman, became good friends. He helped me get my multi rating in a Baron, a twin engine prop plane. And then I trained to fly the M2, which is the smallest jet they make, and now I'm in a CJ4, which goes up to 45,000 feet, and it's fast and carries the whole band plus a few. I can carry eight people in the back.
And you're flying it.
Yeah, me and another guy switch legs. So I don't fly back. I usually had a few drinks, and it's the FAA frowns upon being drunk on a plane unless you're in the back.
Unless you're Dirk Spentley.
They don't like that. That's more about you have to be in the back to be drunk. So, but yeah, I love it. I do about 300 hours a year, and it saves. I'm so grateful for that sponsorship because it saves. I couldn't do this anymore without it.
Oh, man, that's a great idea. Yeah. I mean, you and I have never ever had the discussion about your aviation, and it's such a neat thing. I find it so unique. And not a lot of artists have that passion for aviation.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's cool shit because I have the same passion as you have. And tonight, what's on store for tonight?
Just going to kick the tires, light the fires, go there and rip it, man. I know we had a big night last night with Morgan, so we got to come out of the gates rocking. And these people, it's Sunday night, you got to take all this stuff in consideration. They've been here all weekend. They've had a lot of fun. They've probably had some lack of sleep, too. They're dirty. They've been camping out. So it just means you got to go out there and just give it a little extra.
They're all here, right? So no one's left, which is really unique. And we do these four-day runs, and they're all here tonight, so really cool. And it's just how much they respect you your music. And
you respect them.
You gave Canada a lot of respect early in your career, and it's really interesting because we had more comments about Dirk Spentley than anybody. And
cool,
I thought that was fantastic.
I appreciate the hell of that. That's awesome. Yeah, this is going to be a big night. Just go out there. My guys know it's like Sunday. Whenever you play on Sunday, you got to go out.
Got to work for it, right?
You got to work a little harder for it. Yep. Just get them because they've been out there all week. We all know what it's like to be fans. I go to concerts still. I went to the Taylor Swift concert. Took all my girls there. Dad of the Year award. But, I know what it's like to go to concert. Even getting the perks that we get which I didn't really have any perks for that particular concert. Funny, the 1989 tour, I got up and sang with Taylor. I texted her manager and said, hey, we might come to that Kansas
Robert
City
Allen?
Show. Tree Pain. So we may come to that. I just got done off the road. I was exhausted. I'm sitting on my couch with my wife, and we're talking about Taylor and taking.
Was that Fearless?
It was 89 tour. This is the one before this.
Yeah. Okay.
And I go, well, I don't want to see her in Nashville. It's going to be too crowded. Maybe we should go see her somewhere else. We're sitting there exhausted. I look and see she's playing Kansas City. I'm like, oh, shit, she's playing Kansas City tomorrow. And I'm like, do you want to go? My wife's like, maybe, you know, we're just kind of really tired.
Sure.
So I text Tree, like, hey, would it be possible to come out and see Taylor tomorrow in Kansas City? 2 minutes goes back. Yes, and she would love for you to get up and sing with her. And so I look at my wife, I go, looks like we're going to Kansas City tomorrow. And she's like, well, I'm not sure how I wanted to go. I'm like, oh, we're going now, because Taylor just...
I'm committed. Yeah.
This time around, I didn't get up and sing with her. I had to go park myself and go... So I'm just saying, I know what it's like to be like... It's concerts are hard to get to. It's expensive. It's tiring, you know, but... You know, so I just have a lot of respect for the whole process of being a fan.
You know? You were a fan last week when you saw Taylor Swift, or two weeks ago. You were a fan. You were an
I love 100%. Concerts. I go to. We live in Nashville. We live right in Nashville, so it's 6 minutes for me to get the Bridgestone Arena. So Harry Styles this year, Billie Eilish, kids went and saw Bieber. I hate to miss that. They saw Post Malone. I hate him. I would have loved to see Post Malone.
Yeah.
I've seen Dua Lipa there. Whatever the girls want to go see, you know.
So I love that.
Yeah.
Well, man, I really appreciate taking your time out of your day, because this is like, to our listeners, like, for Dirks to come over here and have this conversation with me, he's got 100 other things going on, and he's got to prepare for a show, so I really appreciate you doing this, and it's great catching up with you, my friend.
Prepare for the show, you mean have a cocktail, which you can't have one yet.
That's timing. Everything's timed.
Exactly a half hour before I walk on stage. 100%. I have a guy here, my buddy Josh Castle, who... It doesn't matter where I'm watching the opening act from or where I am backstage. He 8:30. I mean, I'll see him walking. I look over. It's exactly a half hour. It's 8:30 every night. And boom. I mean, to the dot.
Like, everything's timed. I got it.
Because I just have it. It's like you're playing hockey. It's like you have your pre-show routines and your structure when you eat, when you have your first business. And maybe
your
not a cocktail. For
your pre-game meal, whatever it is.
You know, the food's a little more lax, but the drink, you got to have just the right time.
And you can't overdo it. You got to be in the pocket. But I just want to thank Dirk Spentley for being here.
Thanks,
Dirk. And, you know, we've known each other for a long time, and I think this is one of my favorite podcasts that we've done. And
I'm glad you're doing them. I think it's really cool for fans to go a little behind the scenes of what you do. You created a really cool festival circuit, and we love playing them, and the fans love going to them, so it's very cool.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, y'all.
Thank you to our guests on this episode. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave a review whenever you listen. Until next time, I'm Troy Ballhofer, and you're on the bus at Country Thunder.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.